1 Samuel chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. I will read the even verses, and if together we can read the odd verses. 1 Samuel chapter 4, and verses 6 through 11. If you have that, go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe to us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity we can be here. And thank you for the opportunity where we can have the Word of God. And I just pray that you'd help us and strengthen us to be able to hear it, open up our ears, open up our understanding, so that our faith can be increased, so that we can live more for you, and we can reach the gospel with other folks. I just pray that you're blessed. Phil, preach with the power as he brings the message to us tonight. And we will give the honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe seated.
Let me switch gears there. And if you would, keep your Bible open to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And, alright. 1 Samuel chapter 4. As we see in 1 Samuel, you see the story, of course. Israel and the Philistines, they were constant enemies, always battling, always warring between the two. And here in this chapter, we see that the Ark of the Covenant is taken captive. As the Philistines go up and surround the Israel, they kill about 4,000 men, and the elders of Israel, they come together saying, "Oh, how could this be? How did this happen?" So they, you know what? We got an idea. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh. Let's bring it in here. God's presence with this item, the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to go out and we're going to have victory. So they all start shouting. And in verse 3, that Israel shouted with a great shout. And this made the earth shake. Boy, what a tremendous noise that must have been, as they've been defeated. And now they feel like they will not lose. They have the upper hand now. And the Philistines, they hear this noise, and boy, they are afraid. They start saying, "Oh, this wasn't like this before. What's going on? God must be in their presence. We're going to become like the Egyptians kept them in captivity and slavery. That's going to be us. Israel's going to wipe us out." And they started to fear. They started to think, you know what? Maybe we should quit while we're ahead. Have you ever had that thought while you're in the middle of a process and think, you know what? Maybe I should just quit before I get myself into, as a kid, I thought of this more often. You know, I think before I get myself in more hot water, whether it be with my teacher or my parents, you have that thought that instantly comes and says, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea. This is the way Philistines were feeling about now once they heard that Israel. They're thinking, boy, what a mighty weapon. They've got something. They know something we don't. They're over there rejoicing. They just lost 4,000 men. We must be really in for it. But we see that God says in verse 9, "Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight." God tells them, go ahead. And we know that they do. And boy, they slay another 30,000 footmen. I cannot even begin to imagine the scene. What 30,000 dead men on a battlefield would be, and just the carnage that has taken place. Not only did they have victory, but then they take the Ark of the Covenant into captivity. And I want to take this and preach a message tonight about don't quit. Don't quit. Here, God had to go and to reassure the Philistines that this was what he wanted, because Israel had disobeyed once again, and like Israel had found themselves in many places throughout history that they had disobeyed God, and God turned them over to the enemy. But many times do we find out through Scripture that God teaches that we are not to be quitters. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Of course, there are similar wording that we find in 1 Samuel 4:9. You know, Dr. Lee Robertson has said, "Winners never quit, and quitters never win." I've heard him say that the few times I've been had the blessing of being able to hear him as he was up in his years, still traveling, close to 90 years old, still traveling the country. And he hated flying, so he drove everywhere he went in just a remarkable health, and what a great preacher of God he was. But boy, the truth there, that winners never quit and quitters never win. There's a man when I was in college that I had met. Of course, I had heard of this story, and I had met him when he was in his wheelchair. His name was Randy Rogers. He was a painter by trade, and one day he was up on a ladder 20 feet up in the air and had fallen off the ladder. And if I remember the story correctly, had landed on the back of on his back on an air conditioner, and had been rushed to the hospital. And this terrible accident had severed his spinal cord and had broken his back. And for months he was, or for days and weeks there, he was hanging between life and death. Several months had passed, and he had gotten to the point he just wanted to quit. Of course, very active man and family, wife and family. And he had told himself and his wife, "I'm just done. I'm going to quit." And he had started refusing to eat. He had just said, "You know, I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm just giving up. I'm going to just quit on life. This is just too much for me to bear." And Brother Jeff Owens, a dear friend of his, went to go visit him and asked his wife to step out of the room for a second. And not knowing what else to do, just kind of laid into him a little bit as a friend would do, to try to encourage him and try to get him back in the right mindset. In his eyes, his life was over now that he was paralyzed. And he started off by saying, "You know, I feel sorry for your wife because she's married to a quitter. I'm sorry that your children have a quitter for a father." And you think, oh, that's harsh words to be able to say to someone who's gone through a terrible accident and has gone through so much and had just went on for several minutes challenging him and pushing him to understand the reality of the decision that he had to make in his life, whether he was going to quit and give up on life or he was going to push through and to succeed. And after a few minutes, he had left, and the very first thing, he picked up the phone and he ordered a meal to eat so that he was not going to be a quitter. And he was going to prove everybody that he was not. As you look through Bible, the Bible, you'll see folks that God has used greatly, but they were not quitters. It was not one of their traits in which they were known by. And as we look through scripture, it's some of the things in which are we quitters? Do we quit the task in which we start? I'm thankful that Noah and his family, because had he been a quitter, we would not be here today. But Noah was not a quitter, even though the folks would mock him and ridicule him. And it took so long for him and his sons to. I'm just going to be honest. If I was Noah and I didn't have power tools, I probably would have considered quitting. But I'm glad he didn't quit. He kept on building that ark, him and his wife, even after all that had happened, they did not quit. The children of Israel did not quit when they were enslaved to Pharaoh. Aaron did not quit after the death of his sons, Nadab and Abihu. Moses didn't quit after his sister Miriam passed away. Joshua did not quit when he came to the mighty walls of Battle of Jericho. Samson did not quit even after he had made some poor decisions in his life and found himself in a very bad situation, now blinded and in captivity. Naomi didn't quit after her husband and her two sons had passed away. Jonathan didn't quit, even though everyone in his life hated David, his best friend. Elijah didn't quit when the queen and king had set out a warrant for his arrest. Elisha didn't quit when he was surrounded by Ben-Hadad's entire army in Dothan. Nehemiah didn't quit while trying to rebuild the wall, having to fight off those that would want to destroy it, with a sword in one hand and a hammer and tools in the other, constantly trying to work and be security at the same time. I'm glad that Mordecai didn't quit when Haman tried to destroy his reputation. I'm glad that Job didn't quit when his whole family and his health and his friends and his wealth and everything in his life fell apart. I'm glad he didn't quit. I'm glad that Isaiah didn't quit when, in spite of the prophecy that God had given him concerning the plight of his people, the sadness and heaviness of heart of knowing what's going to happen as God had given him the job to tell his people. I'm glad Jeremiah didn't quit when he had to tell his loved ones that they were away from God. That Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not quit when faced with the fiery furnace. I'm glad they didn't quit in their faith. I'm glad they didn't quit on God. I'm glad they didn't quit in what was taught to them from the old time paths, the old time religion, and what their parents had taught them from their generation to generation, now passed on to them. I'm glad that those three young men decided in this foreign country with this king making a commandment to this false god, we're not going to quit serving the one and only true God. I'm glad that Joseph and Mary didn't quit when a law was passed that now would have resulted in their child's death. I'm glad that Hosea had quit when his wife had left him and left him in shame. I'm glad that blind Bartimaeus didn't quit begging on the roadside. I'm glad that Peter didn't quit even after he had denied Christ three times in the Crooked Crew. Or the Crooked Crow, and that he did not quit serving the Lord. I'm glad that he didn't that Paul did not quit when he was shipwrecked, when he was bitten by a snake, when he was beaten, when he was imprisoned, and all of the things that had come on to Paul. I'm glad that he didn't quit. I'm glad that in his life he did not quit rejoicing and found himself even in the inner prison singing praises and glory to God. I'm glad that he did not have a quitting spirit. If like many of us, boy, the snake would have been it, or the imprisonment would have been it. What would happen if Christianity were to become illegal like it is in many other countries? How many Christians would quit on God or quit on their faith? I know that many would quit coming to church immediately. I know many would probably hide their faith. How many would quit on God if it were to come at the persecution that Paul faced? I'm glad that Paul did not quit. And the examples in which we have of those in Scripture that did not quit or become quitters. Because when you're faced with circumstances, some they had lost their possessions. Some that did not quit had been taken prisoner. Some that had been they did not quit. They lost family members, and they had faced impossible battles in which they had no way in their own personal way of victory that but to rely on God. Some and others had been abandoned. Some had had lack of loyalty of those around them. Some faced certain death. If we face certain death, would we quit serving the Lord? Would we quit standing for the Lord? Would we quit sharing the gospel? I'm glad that the pastor Paul, John Paul, that we read about and heard about this morning, I'm glad he did not quit. That his whole life is an example of one who was not a quitter. There is those that had been attacked by their reputation as well as personally attacked in their body. Some had faced terrible illness and homesickness and been cheated and been confused. And some who were just tired, but they did not quit serving the Lord. Because the common denominator amongst all of the people in Bible that we can look to, especially in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with we call the Hall of Fame or the chapter of fame, the people of faith that serve the Lord. You know what? They were not quitters. They continued serving the Lord regardless of the consequences, regardless of the personal price in which what was required of them. And these people, that they refused to quit in their lives. As you look through the different people in which God has placed in Scripture for us as an example for us to read about either through history or to stories in which we can learn from, we see that those, it wasn't just their a certain position, because there was kings, there was queens, there was mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, rulers, servants, captains, privates, executives or rulers, to farmers, to adults, to teenagers, even to children, some rich, some poor, some healthy, some unhealthy, some educated, and the uneducated. But it's not your position that will get you through a circumstance. It's not your place that maybe your title or your job or something in which you think your wealth or the lack thereof that will see you through. No, it's not a position that will keep you from quitting. It is your decision. It's not a position, it's a decision that you decide, I'm not going to quit. One of the things I loved about growing up in I was on a basketball team. But one of the things I did not love about that basketball team was practice. Three times a week, regardless of whether we had a game that week or not, we would practice and we would run and we would run and we would run. I remember, I don't know how many suicides we ran, and they're called suicides for a reason, because by the time you're done, you get the point. You feel like you cannot do or go anymore. But my coach was so cruel. He was so cruel. He said the last, he would say the first few wouldn't have to run the next one, and the last few would have to run an extra one. So you were motivated. So you've got 15, 20 guys all running as hard as they can, knowing you better not quit or you're going to pay the price. But I remember running and running and running till my body telling me everything within myself, stop, you cannot go anymore. But through that, I realized that I can make a decision to not quit. Even though I had no more strength left, I could keep on pushing, because it was mind over this matter. And thinking that I've got to control my body, because my body wanted me to quit, but I knew I couldn't. I had to keep going, because it was a decision, not a position. As you look into the Webster's Dictionary and you look up the word quit, it defines it as those that discontinue or leave or abandon. I don't want to be known. There's a lot of things I want to be known for, but being a quitter is not one of them. I don't want to be known as one who has abandoned or left or discontinued. I don't want to be known as someone who's abandoned God. God has never abandoned me. God has never left me. God has never quitted on me. God has never quit. Therefore, how can I quit on God? All the times that you think that we would have understood at Jesus going to the cross, that he wanted that cup to pass from him, that cup of sin that he took for on himself, the perfect, righteous Son of God to become the sin sacrifice. We would imagine if the groanings within himself, we'd understand, boy, God in his holiness, we can understand if he would have wanted to quit then, we would have understood. As Jesus was being beaten and mocked and ridiculed and hung up to an old rugged cross, nailed there to die in shame and reproach for our sins, we would understand, well, Jesus, if you had quit, we would have understood. But he didn't quit. And boy, praise the Lord that he didn't quit, that Jesus went to the death. He died. He went to hell and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he now has victory over our sins as he's paid the ultimate price. So I'm so glad that God has never quit on me. I don't ever want to be known as one who has quit on God. I don't want to be known as a man who's quit on my family, quit on my wife, to have left or abandoned. I don't want to be known as a quitter. No one likes a quitter. There's nothing more frustrating to be in a game and someone realizes they're losing. So guess what? They quit. Well, I just forfeit. Or I just, it's not fun to me anymore. I don't know, but I don't want to be known in any area of my life to be a quitter that would be in a negative sense. I want to cut out the word quit in my dictionary. In my life, I don't, as a Christian, we should all strive to have that word quit, that it just does not exist. It's just not a part of who we are. We don't ever find ourselves in any area quitting. You know, even in marriage, one of the things that me and my wife have done in X-ing out a word is the word divorce. It's just not in our dictionary. We don't joke about it. We don't laugh about it. It's not funny to us. Why? Because we're not going to discontinue. We're not going to leave. We're not going to abandon each other. We're not going to quit. And with that, quit should not be a part of who we are. About quitting, we should laugh about it. It should not be funny to us, because what we set out to do, we should be known as someone with the character of not quitting, seeing a task through. Because in quitting, there is to quit doing good would be bad. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we quit doing something that's good, then the opposite of that would be do bad. To do sin. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right until the stars fall. Never stop doing right. He was saying that Christians are not to quit doing right. Here's just a few things in which we as Christians should not do. I believe a young lady or a young man that's a Christian should not quit high school. We should not quit college. We should not, a husband or a wife should not quit on their marriage. A Christian should not quit attending church. A Christian should not quit reading his Bible or praying or soul winning, sharing the gospel with this lost world. We should not stop telling the truth. There should never be a time in our lives where we quit telling the truth. Or to say, well, I tell the truth to this that person, but I don't tell the truth to them. It should be a part of who we are. That quit is not in us. That we never quit telling the truth. That we never quit being thankful. That through our lives we are thankful. The Bible says we are to be thankful in for everything and in all things. A Christian should not quit any good thing that we've started. We should not quit loving people. How is it that we as Christians, as individuals, we quit loving someone? You say, well, I just kind of fallen out of love. It should be something we never quit doing. We should always love people. We should never quit hating sin. If God hates sin, therefore we should hate sin as well. We should never quit hating sin. We should never quit working hard. We should never slack off or do a half job. We should give it our best the entire time. Why? Because we should never quit working hard. We should never quit as children obeying mom and dad. We should should never quit trying to succeed. We should never quit supporting our families. We should never quit serving the Lord at our local church. We should never quit being loyal to the man of God as he follows God. We should never quit rearing and training our children in the love and the teachings the Word of God. We should never quit trying to become better, that we try to help ourselves to constantly self-helps and trying to read books and trying to better ourselves in our lives and in serving the Lord. And some come up with excuses. Well, it's just too hard for me. I just quit because it's just too hard. You know, the fact of the matter is that it's just as hard for other people as it is for you. We're in denial that somehow we're the exception, that it's just too hard for us, but everybody else flies through things in life. You know, doing a hard task, that's good for any person. If it's hard for you, that's a good thing. Because that pressure, that task helps us to become a stronger individual. And those say, well, I can't. Well, I've always hated that. I'll tell either it be a teenager or a student through our school throughout the years, or my own children, I'll say, you need to do this. Well, I can't. I can't do that. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things with Christ, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, yes, you can. And don't get into the mindset or the attitude, well, I quit just because I can't. If you can't do it in your own power, then you need to rely on the Lord and through His strength continue pressing on. But don't be known as a quitter. Or the excuse, I don't know how. Well, then learn. Study. Then learn how. Ask for help. Seek counsel. But don't need to give up to quitting. Or I've never done that before. Any person can learn if you want to. It's amazing what we learn throughout our lives. And the things in which we want to learn, boy, we'll be excited and we'll pick it up right away. It's just we don't want to. If we're quitting, the excuses to be put away, it's just we want to quit. We want to abandon. We want to stop what we're supposed to. The story was told of a middle-aged man who was walking for a stroll through a local park. And that path had taken him along the center field of some boys that were playing baseball. And as they were playing baseball, he kind of looked over and saw a boy there that was slapping his hand with his mitt. And while catching at the batter. The middle-aged man, he had asked the little boy, he got his little attention and said, how's it going? The little boy replied, oh, the game is going great. He asked back, well, what's the score? He said, 0-100. Thinking, wow, that's quite a score. And then shocked, he goes, well, who's ahead? The little boy looked back and said, the other team is. He says, well, I thought you said the game was going great. He goes, it is. Well, how is the game going great if it's 100-0 and you're losing by that much? How can the game be going great? And the little boy with a glow of hope smiled and said, well, we haven't been up to bat yet. See, the little boy had hope. He wasn't a quitter. Even though it was 100-0, he had confidence. He had hope in knowing, hey, if we get up to bat, we can come back. We can make this work. You know, Mr. Randy Rogers, not only did he decide he wasn't quitting on life, even though he was a quadriplegic, he learned to type letters. He learned to be a valuable member and work for the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And I remember shaking his hand. I remember seeing him and passing by him several times and knowing his story, and knowing that he was not a quitter. That he still provides for his family today. And now he's an extremely valuable member of that church. And some have arms and legs that work perfectly fine and a mind that functions and to think that, but their circumstances come along their way to say, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to quit. Oh, quitters never win and winners never quit. Now, although I've told you there are some there that we should never be a quitter, but in life there is some things in which quitting would be good. And that only comes to the area of sin. You know, if it's not wrong to quit doing bad things, if someone calls another person a quitter because you've given up alcohol, or you've given up cigarettes, or you've given up the worldly lifestyle, that is a good thing. God wants every person to be a quitter when it comes to sin. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 3. Because I can already hear the world singing, "Oh, well, the preacher said I'm not going to be a quitter, so give me another bottle." I know, jokingly, someone had given my wife a little plaque that said, "I could give up chocolate, but I'm no quitter." People say, "Oh, I could give up drinking, or I can give up this sin that's in my life, but I'm no quitter." And they use that saying as a joke, but to justify the continuing in their sin. But God never wants us to continue in our sin. Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." This verse teaches us that there's honor in being a quitter in the area of giving up sin and strife, and the strife that comes from sin. You know, a Christian should note the things that God wants them to quit. Psalms 37:8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath." That's a good thing to quit. Our bad attitude and our temper and our anger. When we say, "Oh, I just get angry so easy." Well, then we need to quit it. You ever look back as a parent in the car? Or you look at your children and say, "You better knock it off. You better quit, or else." And if they don't quit, boy, they suffer the consequences. You know, God is telling us there's some things in our lives in which we need to quit. That the anger and strife we need to cease and desist from. So Proverbs 18:18 says, "The lot causes senses or contentions to cease." That we should cease, we should quit the contentions and strife in our lives. That we should quit the contentions between a husband and a wife, between a brother and sister. As I preached last week about the home and the family, that a family is a team, not an opposition. That we are to work together, and that the contentions in our lives we need to quit. The strife and the pride and the anger and the strife that goes on between individuals. Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth the error from the words of knowledge." That a son is supposed to listen and to cease from the things in which would cause him to go contrary to the instruction in which he's been given. Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, "It is an honor for man to cease from strife." It is an honor to get away from the strife and to cease from that contention between someone else. Proverbs 23 verse number 4 says, "Labor not to be rich." That we should cease from laboring to be rich and to have that and cease from thine own wisdom. That our goals in life should not be what we can obtain, the things in which we get, but the things in which we can do to please and to glorify and honor our Lord. Money is not an evil, but the love of money is. Therefore, the Bible says, cease. If we're trying to get rich, if we're trying to live so that we can have and sit back and look on all what we have, we should cease from that kind of behavior and that thought process. Isaiah 1:16 says, "Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Acts 13:10 says, "And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" You know, the world is not ceasing. The world's not quitting. If we think that somehow we can get a new president or a new governor or a new law, that this world is going to quit its spread of sin, that the LGBT crowd is going to quit trying to push their agenda on everything, that God has set as holy and perfect and trying to pervert the minds of the next generation, if we think they're going to quit, we've got another thing coming. If we think that Satan is going to go on vacation and quit trying to attack the minds and the hearts of our children, we better quit. We better stop that kind of thinking, because Satan's not quitting. Satan's not a quitter. This world is not quitting. So therefore, we need to understand, if Satan's not going to quit, and if this world's not going to quit trying to drag every simple-minded individual into the thought process, and every university professor that's going to try to tell that God is not real and try to tell us, tell our next generation in the future that God's not real and that we came from monkeys, or we just evolved, and therefore explain away any behavior, and that Christians and biblical teaching is a hate crime. You know, if we think that they're going to quit doing that, we are insane, because Satan's not going to stop. And if they're not going to stop, and we are the opposition, we are a child of God on the army in which we are fighting this spiritual warfare, we cannot afford to quit. Don't quit. Keep fighting, keep resisting. It's good to be called a quitter when it comes to sinful things. But people should definitely choose to forsake quitting the wrong kind of music, the wrong kind of friends, the wrong thoughts, or the bad books, or the bad habits, or the conversation, or the language. We should quit doing those things. But when it comes in our lives to quitting the things of God, how are we so quick to quit on our Savior? The Savior who went through the pain and the suffering on the cross. This little boy who had said, I'm down by 100 points, but I'm not quitting. He wasn't a quitter. He believed if he kept going, he was going to have a comeback. You know, quitters never win and winners never quit. Dr. Jack Hiles had a poem titled, Don't Quit. When the cup is turned to wormwood and the wormwood turns to gall, when your walking turns to stumbling and the stumbling to a fall, when you've climbed above the mountains, yet the Alps rise rough and tall, don't quit. When the path ahead is crooked and the road's too rough to tread, when the best upon the table is replaced by sorrow's bread, when you've crossed some troubled waters, yet at Marah's just ahead, Exodus 15:16, don't quit. Don't quit. When the vultures have descended and disturbed your downy nest, when sweet fruit has changed to thistle, when the thorns disturb your rest, when a deep to deep is calling, and when failures seem your best, don't quit. When the Lord has cleansed the table, then he takes away the fat, and the best wine has been taken, till you find an empty vat. When another fills the throne room where once you proudly sat, don't quit. When your health is quickly or feeling sickly and the medicine tastes bad, when your fellowship is lonely and your happiness is sad, when your warmth is getting colder and in clouds your sunshine's clad, don't quit. When you find your wins are losses and all your gains are lax, when ill things never come alone and your trouble runs in packs, when your soul is bruised and battered from the temper's fierce attacks, don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season brings the grain. For he who on the Lord hath waited shall never run in vain. The just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Don't quit. Oh, dear Christian, tonight, if anything else, let me remind you, don't quit. If you're discouraged thinking that your life ahead is more than you can bear, or the lot in life in which God has placed you, or the circumstances, whether it be your health, and you don't know what the future lies, let me tell you, don't quit. Well, I'm glad to see Brother Kevin here this morning battling cancer once again. Brother Kevin, if you're watching, don't quit. Don't quit having your happy heart and your sweet spirit and your thoughts in which God has this. Don't quit. Well, if you face the loss of a loved one, let me remind you, God is love. Don't quit. Don't be known as a quitter. There's others that are looking to you as an example. There's others that are looking to you and to follow in how you've handled situations. You can either be an encouragement. You can either be security. And knowing that if they can go through trials, if they can go and they didn't quit, I can go through it too. You don't know who's watching. Let me remind you, dear Christian, don't quit. Whatever circumstances you face in life, and you like Brother Randy saying, I'm just going to give up on life. I just want to quit. Oh, we've got to remind ourselves, are we a quitter? You got to ask ourselves, are we going to quit? Are we going to abandon on what God has brought into our lives? Or are we going to see it through? Are we going to keep our faith and trust in God and give Him the glory all the way through? Oh, dear Christian, don't quit. Don't quit. Young teenager here tonight, you've got to decide. There's going to be some decisions. There's going to be some hard times coming in your life and some decisions you've got to make. Are you going to be a quitter or a winner? Are you going to quit on God? Are you going to quit on the faith, not just the mom and dad's faith, but the faith of God, the faith in which mom and dad have given you through the Word of God? Are you going to quit on God when you become 18, 19, 20 years old and you fly the coop and say, you know what? I no longer have to do what mom and dad said. And you no longer follow the teachings of mom and dad. Are you going to decide, I'm not going to be a quitter? What was good enough for grandma and grandpa, what was good enough for mom and dad, it's still good enough today. The old time religion has not failed. This book has never failed us. The problem is, as a country and as a church and as a whole, as an individual, we've quit on God. God's never left us. God's never quit on us. The fact is, when we get into decisions, we quit on God. We choose our own wants, our own desires and the sins of this world over serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be a quitter. Of all the things in which we're going to be known for in this life, when we come to the end of our life and we're placed into the ground and that date of our birth and our death are placed on that tombstone, and the day you were born and the day you were dying, that little dash in between is going to be your entire life, everything that you've been known for, everything your testimony, your character. I don't want one of those things to be known of me that I was a quitter. I hope that you don't want to be known as a quitter either. When we stand before Jesus Christ and we give an account for everything that we've done in this body, whether good or bad, and it's going to be tried by fire, I hope that one of the things in which we're tried by and one of the things in which is known to everyone that we were a quitter. Let's decide tonight, don't quit. Don't quit. The Philistines, after they had heard that shouting and that rejoicing, they wanted to quit. Thinking, oh, this is going to go very, very bad for us. God had told them, don't you sit here and don't you quit. You go through, I'm going to give you the victory. Dear Christian, I don't know what it is you face in your life. Maybe you face something that no one knows about. Let me just remind you, encourage you tonight. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Don't ever quit on the things of God. Don't ever quit on church. Don't ever quit on reading your Bible. Don't ever quit on prayer. Boy, we heard tonight from our prayer letter that Brother Mann's prayers were answered. Let me tell you, I cannot even begin how many times through building projects and through maintenance of my own cars, God has come through where I have come to the end of my strength or the end of my wisdom. And I go to God and say, God, I need your help. Either I need Samson's power. You've got to, for a second, let me have long hair to be able to break this bolt loose or to be able to pick this up or lift this up. Because if I don't, I'm either going to be in trouble or not going to be able to put this back together. Or give me the wisdom of Solomon every time God has come through. Let me tell you, prayer works. Don't quit on prayer. Don't quit on the most powerful tool in which we have in this universe. The prayer in which we can ask and receive of the Creator of the universe. Don't quit. Say, well, I didn't get my answer to prayer that I wanted. Let me tell you, it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants us to have. It's about God knowing of our needs. Don't quit. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. Don't quit because God hasn't quit on you. I know that doesn't sound good, but he has not stopped serving. He has not stopped being faithful. He has not stopped being holy and righteous. And God is a good God, and the goodness of the Lord, He's never quit the things in His mercies and blessings upon us. The reason in which we find ourselves straying from the Lord is because we've quit on Him. We've quit in our walk with Him and our fellowship. You know, God never quit on Adam. It was Adam who quit because of his sin, because of his nakedness, because of his disobedience of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he quit the fellowship when God came walking, strolling through the in the cool of the day. It was Adam who was missing, not God. When we find ourselves straying from God and we ask ourselves, how did I get to this place in life? Understand, it's because we quit somewhere along our life. Will you be known as a quitter? I hope not. I don't want to be known as a quitter. May we all decide and encourage ourselves and make a decision tonight, no matter what comes our way. Whether we find ourselves like Brother Randy, we find ourselves paralyzed. We find ourselves like those in Hebrews chapter 11 that went through great persecution, great trial, great heartache, and great loss, but still continue to serve the Lord. And glory and honor was brought to God. Why? Because they did not quit. Don't quit. Dear church, we set out to a task. Let's not quit. Let's see it through. When you start a task, don't quit. See it through. Sometimes tasks may be have to be put on hold, and they may have to be suspended for a little while, but don't quit tonight. As we look at those, by faith, they continued. You and I, we can continue by faith to see great victory in our lives as well. Because God can use us to do great things for Him, but only if we don't quit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for the stories in Scripture in which we can learn. That, dear Lord, as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we see those great men and women of faith that continue, Lord, that Your glory was honored by their actions. Dear Lord, that we understand that they were not quitters. That we decide in our lives that we too will not be known as a quitter. Unless, dear Lord, it's in the area of sin, the things of this flesh, that we would die to the old nature every day and follow after the things of the Spirit and the guiding and leading of the Holy Spirit. That, dear Lord, as we set out a task in which You've called us to do, that we wouldn't quit. We wouldn't quit seeking souls here in our community, and we wouldn't quit as a church trying to reach souls across the oceans through the area of missions trips and mission and supporting of missionaries. I pray that as a church, the 20 years You've given us, the faithful men and women of this church that have not quit, may, dear Lord, as we look towards the future and another 20 years ahead, may we not quit. And decide tonight, make a decision that we're not giving up. We're not going to quit in what You've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would, as the piano begins.